The Holy Gospel from the book of Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am the one,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and country against country. There will be earthquakes in various places and there will be famines, but this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So there is an interesting sociological theory. Many of you might have heard of it. It's called third space theory. And it was started in the late 1980s from a sociologist by the name of Ray Oldenburg. And third space theory, in a nutshell, is pretty simple. Basically, there are two types of spaces in a human being's life. The first one is your private space. So that is your home or your cabin or maybe your media room, etc. This is space where you can be yourself without risk of judgment or pressure, safely away from the outside. But number two is your public space. So your workplace, your local pub, your walk the dog to the park space. This space is where you fulfill the important needs, of course, of human beings, and that is of socializing and communication. Humans, by nature, are social creatures, and we need social stimulation in order to be healthy and whole. But Oldenburg goes on to suggest that there is an important third space that sits right kind of in between your private and your public space. In his book, The Great Good Place, he goes into great detail about what third spaces are and the impact that they provide. Third spaces, he goes on to say, are technically public, but they are also a home away from home. Third spaces are designed for people to gather, like public spaces, but they're geared more for deep dive conversations and sharing, and less about your simple just being social. Oldenburg, of course, is presenting his theory and offers a list for him of what third spaces are. And you'll see actually some pictures on the front of your bulletin of what some third spaces in Oldenburg's mind are. Coffee shops, barber shops, especially in the southern United States, public libraries, community centers, and yes, churches and faith communities. These are spaces where the lines between public and private life become blurred and actually benefit our own lives. Third space theory, and I know he's not here this Sunday, but Damien Barnett, the sociologist, probably can tell you more about it than I can. But I believe, you know, third space theory is a fascinating lens in which to look at our apocalyptic texts and psalm for today. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. That's our psalm today, verses 5 and 6. This psalm was written by someone who was living in Babylon, we think, in what we refer to as the Babylonian captivity. This is a person who is seeking a new hope from blurred lines. During my seminary internship, I led a Bible study in connection with for senior citizens, in connection with the senior citizens facility that was just next door to the church, St. Mark's Lutheran Church in San Francisco. And I got to know during this Bible study a person by the name of Margie. Margie came to our Bible study, who was 90 years old, and she came from a very rough family history. Not able to afford her house anymore, her son moved her into this senior living facility and basically cheated her out of the proceeds from the sale of her house. So she was left high and dry and quite depressed. And so Margie came to our Bible study really not knowing anyone, and originally she was there only because the aides would roll her down to our room every week. And it was clearly she was in a captivity of her own. Well, this all changed when, during the Christmas season, we were studying, I can't even remember, some letter of Paul or something, and we were about to end Bible study, and Margie all of a sudden asked this question. She said, you know, I received a visit from a social worker who was a Muslim. She had her hair covered, and we had a very nice visit, and when she was leaving my apartment, she turned around, she gave me a hug, and she said, Merry Christmas. And, Pastor, I didn't know what to say back to her. What can I say to this woman who showed me love? And I said, well, Margie, actually, it turns out, Muslims have quite a lot of holidays during the season of Christmas. To which Margie was saying, oh, could we learn maybe about some of those traditions and holidays? And to which some of the other group said, yeah, I've always wanted to know more about the Islam faith. And so here we are, during the month of December, I was leading this Bible study where the average age was over 85, and we were studying Muslim holidays and traditions. It was quite a sight, but it was incredible, actually. And Margie opened up, even, during this time, about her own faith struggles. And she also became friends with this other woman who invited her over to her apartment for lunch every week. And so at the end of my internship, that Bible study was one of the hardest groups to say goodbye to. And at the end, Margie came up and gave me a hug from her wheelchair. And she said to me, she said, Eric, thank you for helping me bring some church back into my life. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Psalm 16. You know, apocalyptic literature and images for many of us are pretty scary. Filled with wild beasts and fire, judgment and torment, much of our knowledge, I think, around this type of writing is based on the popular Left Behind series, right? For nation will rise against nation and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Oh, great. Awesome. Sounds dreary and scary, right? Of course, let's not forget those apocalypse experts, right? Who come around every once in a while and say, I've got it. I've figured it out. The Bible code is broken and the end of the world will come at a specific date. Well, in reality, you talk to most biblical scholars, and they will tell you that this ancient style of literature was not meant to give a secret code or a secret literal date when the world will come. In fact, Christ in other places in Scripture says all the time, you know, the end of the world, the time in which God will come, that's not really in our purview or power. That's God's business, not ours. So, what is this apocalyptic intended, this literature intended for? Well, I think it's actually intended to give us hope. Now remember, living as a Jew in the ancient world and Roman Empire was not exactly a cakewalk. This was a population under intense occupation. They were, as an occupied group, taxed into poverty. Many of them were forced into worship and to giving oaths to Caesar. Anyone, of course, who spoke out of line would be swiftly murdered. And let's also not forget to mention the disease, the natural disasters, the hunger that constantly inhabited this time and place. And now you begin to see a people that were in need of a God who would change things up. What is then the hope that comes out of suffering in this text? Well, in this chapter 13, Jesus says, then at the end of his sermon today, it's not in our text, but at the end of his sermon, he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. This is a hope that's intended to give people the idea of the blurring of boundaries. For these end times signify not a specific event, but a falling of lines between God and creation. The boundaries that were once separating us from God now have fallen. God's presence will fill the world in radical new ways. This is the hope of ancient Judaism, and I believe our hope today, as we too live in very tumultuous times. You know, we have all heard of the prepared apocalyptic warners, right? Those who are living in the bunkers, those who are reading the Bibles literally and warning of God's wrath at every turn. But here's the thing. The word apocalypse, it comes from the Greek apokaleptein, apo, meaning to remove. Kaleptein, meaning a cover or a veil. So, really, what apocalypse means is to uncover or to remove the veil. So here is then, with this in mind, apocalypse is a continual revelation of uncovering of God's love and presence. Maybe where some are seeing themselves as the warners. What if we, ironically, thought of ourselves as the apocalypse bringers? Those who are helping God doing the uncovering in this world. Our mission in the name of Christ is to help people uncover more and more areas of divine presence, especially for those who don't know where to turn. So what if we thought of ourselves as taking down the boundaries and helping others see a God whose presence is already closely woven into this world? Here's what is also very interesting about Ray Oldenburg's third space theory. He warns that third spaces are rapidly disappearing. Due to things like technology or desire for more choice at all costs, the automobile, the suburban land use planning, the deep third space gathering places are quickly disappearing, as we can all point to the old Disbros market over here as one, a vivid example of that third space, community space disappearing. Thus, as a church and one of the remaining third spaces left here in our area, is this scripture today calling us to both reclaim vital third space for our community, as well as bring apocalypse or uncovering God for others in doing so? Maybe the apocalypse is not fire and fury, most think, but instead begins with us. Maybe apocalypse happens every day, from the tying of prayer quilts to the visiting someone in the hospital. Maybe uncovering God, not fire and brimstone, is exactly what this world needs right now. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. May it be so. And may this apocalypse or uncovering begin with us. Amen.